Let's see your Bibles this morning. Lesson plan. Pens, glasses. One quick announcement before we start. Super Bowl Sunday has historically been in the evening services, has been empty. We've had about 80% no-show at our 5 o'clock services. Not only the 3 years I've been here, but the 5 years before that I was doing Sunday night services. And so this year we decided to show the football game. And we are going to show the football game starting at 3:30 in Montezuma Hall. And when the game is over, we'll have our 7:15 service. And now, I know some of y'all go, oh, they're putting God, football before God. That's so wrong. Nah, just get over it. We're just showing watching the football game. But we will invite you to bring your friends to the game, and we'll probably have something during halftime, a little testimony. So I'm just guessing, and probably get some player come out. If not, I'll just do it and get some folks saved the game. And but we're going to have special cameras, and we're going to get a great picture. At least we're going to do our best to do that. It will be a lot better than that, and we'll have a good time. And then we'll have a service after that. So that's February 1st. It doesn't affect any of y'all because we'll just have morning services as normal. So anyway, don't get legalistic on me. We're having fun. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. We started last week a series. Oh, I'm sorry. Before we start, and please, on the tape, if y'all can not put all this on the tape for this, we're going to have a quiz, okay? Now, this quiz we're going to have is a quiz on what we went over in December. We had 3 sermons in December talking about how we know the Bible is God's word. Our next quiz in church will probably be the end of this month in February based on what we do in January. So we'll have 4 to 6 weeks of sermons and we'll have a quiz. 4 to 6 weeks of sermons and have a quiz. Now there are quiz questions, 10 every week, that we'll put on the internet. Okay, so last week's sermon has a quiz related associated. It's on the internet. And what you need to do is every week, just look, it's like 10 questions. They'll be very simple for you to memorize, even if you didn't get it in church. But you memorize and you understand and you learn 10 a week, that's 520 during the whole year. That's a lot of stuff, okay? So just every week, just go on there, get the questions, and then when we have a quiz, you should know it, okay? You should, the key word, should. Okay, let's go. First question. First question is, now, don't yell out the answers. The Bible is scientifically what, but it is not a science something. Okay, the answer is, it is scientifically accurate, but it is not a science book. You remember that? Very good. Next question. In which ancient book of the Bible does God challenge us to consider the vast array of his creation? There was a book in the Bible where I talked about 2 chapters worth where God was kind of talking trash, saying, oh, so you think you're something. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you when I taught the hawk how to fly? Where were you when I taught that blah, 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 blah? You remember that? Okay, the answer is? Job. C. Very good. Next question. We're going to grade you at the end, so just keep track of how many you get right. And don't pick the one you got right after we get the answer. On which day would it be optimal for a male to be circumcised? The Bible says, circumcised on this day. Don't yell it out, please. We're taking a quiz. Never. I'm with you on that one. The answer is 8 day. That means if it ain't done by now, never. Next question. If one red blood cell would redeem one person, how much blood would Jesus need to shed to redeem all mankind, past, present, and future? And we gave a quart, a gallon, a teaspoon, or more than the body can hold. Just think about that for a second. We gave this answer. Billions of people. Okay, the answer is one. C, in one teaspoon there is 25 billion red blood cells. Next one. What is the biblical number of testing? Again, we go over this. I've said this all a bunch of times. Don't yell the answer out. 70, 40, 12, or 7? The answer is B. Next one. What term is, don't yell this out. I know you're going to get so excited. What term is used to describe being caught up to heaven to be with Jesus? Now, there are 8 occurrences of this in the Bible. Enoch, Elijah, Philip, Jesus, John, Paul, the Christian church, and the word is rapture. Rapture means be caught up. That's all it means. It means be caught up. Okay. What book contains the names of those who are guaranteed to spend eternity in life? It's not a book of the Bible, but it says the book of something, and it's written in the Bible. Okay? The answer is Book of Life. Okay, very good. Next one. Who were the 2 non-Christian historians who wrote about Jesus? Hey! The answers are A and D. A and D. Okay, next one. Next one. How do we, that's one of those, if you don't know it when you first see it, you ain't going to get it. just go on. How do we know that Moses wrote the Torah? Remember, what's the other word for Torah? We studied that last week. Starts with a P. Pentateuch, law, book of the law, blah, blah, blah. It's also in your quiz from last week. Next, the answer is, how do we know that Moses wrote it? The answer is, Jesus quotes from every book and ascribes it to Moses. Okay? Next one. In which book does Paul exhort the reader to study the word of God? Choices are 2 Timothy. Answers A, 2 Timothy 2:15. Next one. How'd you do? Here's the answers. You know, whatever. I'm learning too. How many got 8 to 10? Very good, very good. That means you're a superstar. Next one. 6 to 7. Raise your hand if you got 6 to 7. Okay. Well done. Next one. 4 to 5. Get out that word. Less than 4? Come on. But seriously, what we need to do is, you don't want to keep failing, okay? You don't want to fail. So now, what I've given you on your lesson plan, if you look in the back, there are 10 questions. Those are the 10 questions from last week. Don't go from now. Go them when you get home. We're not going to put them on your lesson plan every week. But this is what's on the internet, okay? And the answers will be below, so you can take the test and grade yourself every week. It's simple as that. Most of y'all could probably do all of these or a lot of these if you were here last week. How many books in the Bible? 6. What are the first 5? First one is? 6. Second one is? 6. Third one is? 6. Numbers. Okay, one more time, let's everybody say it together.
Genesis, Exodus,
okay, so every week there'll be questions like this that you can look on the internet. Go through it, and then every 4 to 6 weeks, we're going to have a quiz. Okay, so it's 6 weeks is 60 questions. We're going to have a 10-question quiz. We're going to pull from all the quizzes. Okay? Okay, let me start the tape. Okay, let's turn to Genesis chapter 2. Last week in Genesis chapter 1, we looked at creation. Story number 1 or creation version number 1. And we looked at, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Day 1, he created light. Day 2, he divided the water from the land. Day 3, he created the plants. Day 4, he created the stars, the moon, the heavens and the sun. Day 5, the fish and the birds. Day 6, man, animals, and creeping things. And on day 7, he rested. That was a step-by-step, blow-by-blow account of creation. Now we're going to look at another creation story in Genesis 2. If you compare the 2 stories, you will see that they look different. And some people say there's a contradiction. Which one is true? They're both true. If you look in your notes, write down creation story number 1 is a chronological version. Step 1, step 2, step 3, step 4, step 5. It's a chronological version. In Genesis chapter 2, we're going to see it's more of a narrative story version. In other words, I'm going to tell you about when God created the heavens and earth before anything happened, and then it's going to focus on man. That's the purpose of Genesis 2. Now, in Genesis 2, we're going to talk about man in the garden today, and then next week we're going to talk about the mini-series, Garden Life is the name of these next 2 sermons. Adam, Eve comes on the scene, and they get married. So next week, we're going to talk about relationships, marriage, all that good old good stuff, okay? But this week, we're going to talk about garden life. what it was like in the garden. So let's look at chapter 2, verse 1. It says, thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which he had created and made. Now, if you look in your notes, it says cross-reference Genesis 2, 1 to 3, which we just read, with Exodus. Now, we're not going to do that now, but I would like you to go home and read that later, or even before you leave the parking lot. Because in Exodus, especially in the Ten Commandments, it says, man shall work 6 days and rest the seventh, just as God worked 6 days and rested on the seventh. Now, many people say, well, God didn't create the earth in 6 days. It really was 6 eons or 6 billion years. Okay, then you have a problem explaining how man is supposed to work just like God worked. Is man supposed to work 6 billion years and rest a billion? The Bible says in two places that he, just as God worked 6 days and rested on the seventh day, just so man should work 6 days and have a Sabbath. Okay? So just, you can look that up later, but there's too much cross-reference in the Bible for me to just say, no, that's not really what he meant. He meant days, and he confirmed it again in Exodus. Now look next. It says in verse 4, this is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field was grown. For the Lord had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. So God's saying, basically, I'm going to explain to you something's going to happen way in the beginning before anything happened. That's all he's saying, okay? He's not saying, here's what happened first, here's what happened second, here's what happened third. He did that in Genesis chapter 1. Look at verse 7. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in the Eden, and there he put the man. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every tree to grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became 4 riverheads. The name of the first was Pishon. It is the one that encompasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold in that land is good. Bethlehem and the onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one that encompasses the whole land of Cush. The name of the third is Hiddekel. It is the one which goes towards the east of Assyria. And the fourth is the Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you eat, you will die. Now, what we're going to look at is the deal God made with God called the Edenic Covenant, the covenant he made in Eden. Eden means delight. So this is the Garden of Delight. You have to understand that we have no idea how beautiful this place was. Why? Because if you look at the most beautiful tourism package videos and brochures about all these nice tropical places around the planet, they are ghetto life compared to this. How do we know that? We know that because the Bible says that when Adam sinned, and we're going to see that in a couple of weeks, 2 weeks, that God cursed the earth. Thorns and thistles, and I'm going to get into that now, but he cursed the earth. He cursed our bodies. We die and get wrinkled and die, oh, and get crusty and die. That didn't happen to them. It wasn't going to happen to them. So here he is in the garden, and God makes a deal with Adam and Eve. We're going to see in a minute. But I want to ask y'all something. Whenever you see a celebrity figure, especially a man, fall, whether it be a celebrity figure, whether it be an athlete, whether and pastor, or someone who's in leadership, and it happens to everybody, but we only know of the ones that are noteworthy, or that are in the limelight. Whenever they fall and ruin their life, there's usually one of three reasons they fall. What are they? Power, money, and women. Women. Power, money, and let's say it all together. Power, money, and women. Ladies, pray for your husbands every day that they will be satisfied with the power, money, and women God gave them. God gave Adam all the power, money, and women he could ever have. He gave it to him. He hooked them up. Look in your word. Look in your Bible. I mean, look in your notes. The Bible says, the notes say, one, power. These are garden luxuries. One, He had authority over the whole earth. How much more power can you need? Listen to what I'm telling you. He says, Adam, you are the only man on the whole planet. You are the man. Okay, right now. All the animals, they are under your authority. There was no death. Lions did not kill gazelles. There was no death. Bats did not eat insects. There was no death. Dogs did not chase cats. Unless they were just playing tag. There was no death. Okay? So the animals were under his dominion. We see a little bit of that today because animals fear man, but animals will eat man. Okay? But they still kind of have this fear of him. But still, he says, Adam, you have control of all the animals. If you just put your hand out, any eagle hawk you want, we'll just fly. Yeah, I'm not saying literally. I mean, any of them. But that's how he had authority. That he can, if he wanted to pet a lion, he could just call a lion. A big old, whatever how big they get, lion will come over and he could just pet him and he just go. I was at the zoo once and we got behind the scenes to see some of the animals, and it was the zoo has a white tiger, at least they did at the time. And they got us behind, and there was a chain link fence between where we were and the tiger. And they said, don't put your hand in the fence. I mean, it's kind of like you don't really need to tell somebody that. So I'm like, so the tiger, he's kind of close, and we were kind of calling, wanting to come over. And he came right up against the fence, and his head was right here. And I'm like, just, you know, just talking to him. Just say, you are so beautiful. He's like, ah. And you can hear him purr. And then he walked away, and what I do? Put my hand right through the fence and touched him. I just wanted to touch him. It just touched his side. It was like, but this big old giant man-eating animal was right here. In Adam's day, there was no need for a fence. He said, Adam, you got authority. Adam, all the food, the entire planet's food supply is under your control. You go anywhere you want. Do anything you want. Is that power? Is that, I mean, what kind of power would the brother want? What kind of power would you need? You know, we always think we want more. And we're going to see this in 2 weeks, but I can't repeat it enough. The devil will always try to convince you that what God has given you is not enough, that he has something better. It's a lie. So here's Adam got all his power. Look what else he has in verse, in point number two. He had wealth. Write down gold, bedlam, and onyx. It's in verse 12. You want to spell those words? Bedlam and onyx stones. Gold is gold. Bedlam is like a pearl, and onyx stones are precious stones. You know what he says? Imagine, you know, we got, you can go to a 14 karat gold thing and you can get a little gold plate, you know, and it turns green after a week. This was good gold. This was good stuff right here. God just made it. Said, there you go. Precious stones. Nowhere to spend it. There's no store. He doesn't need to buy anything. He owns it all. He had all this wealth, and next one he had, I wrote romance instead of women. Look what it says in verse 20, populate the earth, God told him to do. He said, Adam, I'm giving you a woman. Jenny Craig is going to go out of business with your woman because she is never, ever, ever going to get old. She's going to be young forever. You're going to live forever. Imagine that. And so here you go, he's got this woman, and God told him, God says, you know how big this planet is? Populate the whole thing. Say amen, fellas. This is the Lord God speaking. I'm not making this up. Matter of fact, you might think I'm making it up. Look at verse 28. Chapter 1, verse 28. Chapter 1, it says, God blessed them and God said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. E-R-F, go ahead. Fill the whole thing. Subdue it, have dominion over the fish, over the birds of the air, over everything. What more could a brother ask for? But there are rules. You know, we have this mentality that if I work hard, I'll be able to rest and do no work. I don't know where that comes from. It comes from the devil thinking that, you know, we're supposed to get to a point where we could be lazy and, you know, I mean, how many people have you seen retire? And how can you retire? What does that mean? You know, that means you go from one job to another. That's all that means. I mean, if anyone has any drive, you can't just sit around and do nothing all day. I guess some people can. Some people can. But I can't. And you ever have, you know, whatever your day off is, a Saturday morning, you want to sleep late, and you make yourself sleep late, and then you feel like, after, you know, you wake up, and you're like, all day, you're like this. Why? Because you were lazy. You did nothing. He says, Adam, I'm putting you in the Garden of Eden. It's going to be beautiful, but you got to work. But you got stuff to do. You got responsibility. First, care for the garden. You have to care for the garden. Care for the garden. Verse 15. The Lord God took Adam, the man, and put him in the garden to tend it and keep it. We don't know what he had to do. But he didn't say, go in there and do it anything, tear it up. He says, I want you to take care of it. I want you to take care of it. Are you taking care of what God has given you? God has given you a wife, husband, a family, a home, a business, money, the ability to make money, the ability to love, to forgive. You have relationships. Are you taking care of, you have a body? Are you taking care of your body? Think about that. What do you eat? What do you drink? What do you smoke? What do you tweak? Some of you are like, man, how does he know that one? Because I used to tweak myself. Do you take care of your, what are you, are you taking care of? God says, hey, I'm giving you this. See, we have no idea the potential of what we have. We have no idea of the paradise-like life we can have with what we already have. Are you taking care of the relationship with your wife or your husband? Are you taking care of your body? Are you taking care of your mind? There's a young lady who I've known since she was like 14. She's in medical school now. And she was here a few months ago, and I was asking her how to increase my brain capacity. No, I'm sorry, brain stamina. We use about 3% of our brain. 3%, 90% of our brain abilities we don't even use. And I'm assuming that Adam had 100%, had control of 100% of his brain capacity. That's some fine assumptions, because they were not like us, by the way. We'll talk more about that next week, because he names all the animals in one day. My brother was, got it. You know, it's not like us. Cat. Nah, he was, okay, that's all the fish. What's next? Okay. Do you have any idea your brain capacity? Let me tell you something, and this is honest God truth, and I would like you to try to test God in this. Study your lesson plan and your lesson plan, your quiz, and read the Bible every day and memorize scripture and work on it every day and watch how you'll start to understand it and learn it quicker. You will. You'll learn it so quick that you'll be, let's say you start memorizing verses and you don't memorize verses now, it'll take you maybe a week to memorize one verse. And after a while of memorizing, you'll start reading verses, go, I want to memorize that one, and you'll get it right then. And it'll start to accelerate. It's like anything. You work out, first day you work out, what happens? Yeah. And you just walk up the stairs to the gym. Big old people, we rolling in the gym. What's the first exercise? Well, you need to sit down first. That's your first exercise. But then after you do it sometime, next thing you know, you're doing more and more and more. You increase your stamina. And so the question is, are you taking care of you? Do you have any idea the potential you have? You don't. You don't. You just don't. No one does. But it's more than what we're using. So you have to care for the garden. Next one, it says, avoid the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you will live forever, enjoying paradise forever. Avoid the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you will enjoy paradise forever. What does that mean? Well, one, it means don't mess with this tree. But what was the knowledge of the good and evil? Not only would he be aware that it existed, and here, this is so critical, as I was praying about this very concept, and God showed me something very interesting. He says, you know what? I wasn't only trying to avoid and prevent him from knowing good and evil, Because we are not supposed to choose from good and evil. We'll talk more about that in 2 weeks. We're supposed to obey God. But I don't want you to understand the consequences of evil. In other words, he says, I don't want you to have any knowledge of depression. I don't want you to have any personal knowledge of addiction. I don't want you to have any personal knowledge of being molested or abused as a kid. I don't want you to have personal knowledge of rejection and being brokenhearted. I don't want you to have knowledge of that. See, when we talk about sin, and when a pastor's talking about sin, or whoever's looking out for you or encourage you to stop sinning, it's not that not only they don't want you to do that, but what's more importantly is the consequence of what you're doing. See, there's a lot of young people who don't go to church here, he only talking about we shouldn't live together. I'm living with my girlfriend. I ain't going to Iraq no more. It's not that, you know, yeah, you can live with somebody. Yeah, you can have sex. Yeah, it can be fun. You think, what's the big deal? I'm okay. I'm not dying. It's not that that act necessarily is going to hurt you. It's the result of that act that's what's going to hurt you. It's a result of that act. Some of y'all today think, well, I don't need to be saved. I don't need Christ in my life. I'm fine. What's the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian? Maybe not that much seen obvious difference today, even though it's spiritual. But what's the problem is, what's going to happen when you die? That's the thing you really, it's not that, well, if I get saved, my life now is going to be that much different. It'll be a lot different internally, definitely. Your lifestyle may not change, because you know what? You may even make your lifestyle more difficult in the eyes of the world. In other words, you may live at a more modest level when you get saved as choice, or God does that to you. That's not the issue. The issue is what's going on the inside, and the issue, more importantly, is where you spend eternity. And the difference between heaven, where there's no more crying, no more pain, and hell, where there's nothing but crying and pain, is huge. You know, I'm doing this class on apologetics, and one of the discipline to defend the faith. And the first section of this class is to defend and to explain and argue the reality of a God without using the Bible.
Well, how do you prove there's a God? Hey, look at all the evil in the world. And if God was true, he would end the evil.
He is. He is. Just wait. The story ain't over. The story ain't over. You don't want to mess with the knowledge of good and evil, because you have no idea how evil can be. We live in a fantasy Disney world. And when I say we, I don't mean America. I mean San Diego. Go to Brooklyn. You'll see a whole different life. Go to some East Coast city that's been there 100 years, much less our San Diego, that's still being built. Go someplace where it's run down, and live in a place that's not as beautiful as this. And it's not. It's concrete. There's not beautiful trees. It's beautiful. A lot of the homes are older than the homes here. Everything's here so new. We have such a warped concept of life on this planet Earth. This is one of the most beautiful places on the planet Earth. And we think it's like this everywhere. It's not. Everyone doesn't have a job. Everyone doesn't go to Starbucks every morning. Matter of fact, I was in Riverside Friday night. Riverside, it's only 2 hours away. And my wife and I wanted to get some ice cream. Ice cream, basic. And I'm walking the hotel. I say, hey, man, is there someplace I can get some ice cream right? I just want to walk. He said, wow, man, ice cream. You have to go way up there. It's like 3 miles away. It's like, what kind of town is this? There's no ice cream I can walk in. The knowledge of good and evil. You know what God said? Please don't touch that tree. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. And next rule, if you eat of the forbidden tree, you will die. He's only going to die. He wouldn't die immediately. Physically, he would die spiritually. You know, the Bible says that when you are born, you are spiritually dead. There was a movie called Night of the Living Dead. Y'all remember that movie? I remember when I was a little kid, my brother and I watched it. We watched all the scary movies. And then we scared each other based on the movie. Night of the Living Dead, people who were dead came alive. You remember that? And what did they do when they caught you? They ate you. my brother and I used to, we would just scare each other. He'd be walking through the house, and I'd be right around the corner, and he'd come around the corner, I'd grab him. I start biting on him. And then he would have to act like the movie. He couldn't, like, just say, get off me. He would have to go, like that. That was the rule. You couldn't just, like, not be, one guy couldn't be in the movie, another guy not. You had to both be in the movie. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You got a brother, you know what I'm talking about. And you may think, you know, when you're born, you are spiritually dead. That means you may have nice clothes, you may have a nice car, you may have a nice house, but you're still. And you may have a pretty woman. She's just. She's dead too. You know what's the problem? The sad truth is that those people look at Christians and don't see anything different. There's Christians walking around like that, trying to be cool. I want to act like I'm dead. Talk like they're dead. I'm talking about spiritually dead. You want to act like you're in the world instead of talking like you're a Christian. So when they look at a Christian, they go, there's no difference between you and me. I can't see it. Now, spiritually there is, but it's not manifesting itself in your behavior, in your countenance. Because you're just still, you don't have enough of this in you. You have too much of the world in you. So you walk around like that too. Thinking, well, I want to fit in. No. Yeah, I may have the same clothes as you. I may have the same type of car you have. But what's inside is coming out and it's different than you. It's different than you. When I had that magazine shoot, they said, well, can you come in a minister's suit? for this magazine, they asked me, could I wear a minister's suit? I didn't know what that is. I was like, I'm thinking they meant collar. I don't have that. So I was thinking, minister suit. I was like, no, I want to bring my motorcycle and my Bible. If you watch closely in the picture, I have a Bible on my lap and on my knee. And my wife actually picked out the outfit. And, you know, I didn't want to be all like yoked out, but she just wanted that, you know. You got to talk to my woman. That's my woman. You know what I'm saying? She was there. She was like, yeah, take that pose. Bam. But it wasn't like, it was like, okay, this guy's a pastor. He got the motorcycle. Hey, come talk to me. Come talk to me. Let me pray for you. He says, if you eat from this tree, that whole relationship you have with me, Adam, is going to die. You're going to die spiritually. That peace you can have, that you have now, the spiritual power you have, the communication with me you have now, you will keep that if you don't touch that. God wants us to be innocent to the things that are the world, that are evil. Don't be all involved in them. It doesn't mean you're not going to know about what's going on, but you're not going to be in it. You know, I sometimes at evening service, I'll say, yeah, how many of y'all got drunk last night? Just as a test to see if I catch somebody off guard. I see people like, yeah. You know, and it's like, no, you should, we know that happens, but that shouldn't be you. And so, Adam, here's the deal. You have all this stuff. You avoid this tree, and you obey my rules. You take care of the garden, and you'll be fine. That's the God offers us. You know, today, if you ask Christ to be your Savior, and you do what he says, it is responsibility. You have a responsibility to read your Bible. Daily, you should read it. You should read it all the time. It's the word of life. You should memorize it. You should talk about it. You should pray all the time. You should be around Christians so you can see what it looks like when people obey. All the time. So you can experience all that God has for you. It's not something you have to do. It's something you get to do. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. And because I'm an evangelist, I so much love being around non-Christians. Like if I'm in a room and there's Christians over there and non-Christians over there, I'm going over here. That's because the heart God gave me is evangelism. So I'm like, how can I get one of those people who are not saved, say, I get to do that. I get to do that. You get to walk with God. And he's saying here, look at your lesson plan. The soul winner, so what? SW. The soul winner, so what? What's the point? The point is that Jesus' death on the cross gives us a second chance at the tree of life. See, the Bible says every single one of us in here is a sinner, and the penalty of sin is death. We are all born. We've learned to do that cool. Ooh. But you still.
It's funny when you talk to somebody and you really start witnessing to them, you realize how empty it is inside. Not here, I'm not here. And Jesus says, you know, if you ask me to be your Savior, I'll put true light back in your heart. Your eyes will be open. Your spiritual eyes. And you'll know, you'll have a relationship with me. And we can start going back to the garden where you will appreciate what I've given you. You'll manage correctly what I've given you. You will enjoy what I've given you. You know how many people have so many things that they don't even enjoy? Wealthy, middle class, poor, whatever they got, they don't enjoy it. I know people who are very wealthy, middle class, and very poor who they don't enjoy what they got. Just because you have more stuff don't mean you have more fun. If I gave you $1 billion, which I can't because I don't have it, and if I had it, I wouldn't give it to you. But if I did, you would go, and the first question, what do I do now? And you would have to hire lawyers and accountants on how to figure out how not to lose it. And then how are you going to trust the people that have come into your life? It's like, I was better off when I was making $10 an hour just living in an apartment. I knew who my friends were. Not that you don't when you're rich, but you have to be extra careful. And that's not the answer. The answer is having a relationship with Christ. In a minute, we're going to pray. Some of y'all are going to realize, you know what? I want to be in the garden. I want to be able to enjoy the power, the wealth, and the romance, whether I have it or not, that God's going to bring in my life. Without having to covet more. So let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you so much for Adam. But more, we thank you that you created the garden and you showed us in the Bible in the beginning that you provided everything we could ever want. And even today, we covet so many things in our life. More money, more women, more power. And then we get it, we want something different. We're never satisfied. That's the devil. Lord, there may be somebody here today who realizes they're a sinner. That you died for their sin and rose from the dead. And they want you to forgive them of their sin. They want a new chance at the tree of life, eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. If you want to place your trust in Jesus this morning, pray with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, yes, I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died and rose. Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to be born again. I want to partake of the tree of life. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer and this morning you're saying, God, I want to be forgiven of my sin, I'm going to ask you right now in this place to stand to your feet and acknowledge his forgiveness in your life. If today you're saying, Lord, please forgive me, just stand to your feet and acknowledge his forgiveness in your life this morning. God knows you. He loves you. He has a great plan. Lord, I thank you and pray everybody here is saved. I thank you for that man standing. Anybody else, God bless you. Good. Stand to your feet and give your life to Jesus Christ this morning. Good, good. Now we're going to ask you to do one more thing as you stand there. We want to welcome you to the family of God and we want to encourage you. So we're going to ask you who is standing to come on up to the altar and let's give them a round of applause. Come on up right here. Who's the man? Amen. Amen. What's up, big fella? God bless you. Stay right here. Stay this way. Amen. Amen. The Bible says if you confess your sin, God's faithful and just to forgive you. He's forgiven you. He has a plan. He wants to bless your life. We have counselors over here that want to pray with you. But if anybody else wants prayer today, as everyone's leaving that way, we're going to ask you to walk that way. Let me encourage you. Every week, go do your homework. Learn the Bible. There's always going to be a little so what, so one, and so what at the bottom. What does that mean? That's how you use that information to go share the gospel with somebody. Okay, that's why we're doing all this. That's why we study all week. That's why we set up. That's why we do all this so we can be equipped to go out and learn and apply the Bible. Amen?
So let's do it. Amen. Let's pray, and then we're going to send you over there. And anybody else who wants prayer, we're going to go over there. Lord, thank you so much for being good. And Lord, I want to covet the prayers of the church for a building-related meeting with the city this week coming up. I pray that you would give us favor in that very important meeting. And I pray that we would all ask that we would all pray this week for the meeting on Wednesday. Allow me to be vague for today. I'll let you know later what it's about. That you would give us favor. Thank you for that whole process. Thank you for the MP3 and all the people who've pledged and are giving. Thank you for the opportunity to have our own place in Point Loma. Thank you for this place. Thank you for the people who find us, Lord, and drive all around San Diego. What a blessing to have a battle-ready church. Thank you for all the small groups that are going to be going to the fire stations. Bless those times, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, brother, you can go right to that young lady right there. All right. God bless you.